Hello, welcome to Women of the Future. This is episode 9, entitled Discovering Your Soul's Androgyny and Race. I am Magla Pillay, and in the studio with me, Sister Denise. We will be looking at what this title means. You'll note that androgyny is not something that people normally discuss. Race is something that's normally associated with the body, not with the soul. But today we will be looking at the subject from a refreshingly spiritual perspective. Sister Denise, it's always wonderful having you with me in the studio.
Thank you.
This topic is very gripping in the way it's presented. Androgyny is a word that exists in the English and, well, quite obviously many languages on the planet, but it's not something that anyone aspires to or even discusses. It's something that you learn in biology somewhere when you're 16 or 15, and then you forget. So what does soul androgyny mean? And what on earth does soul race mean?
Androgyny conventionally means someone who is equally male and female. So we have in the Indian mythology the symbol of androgyny, which is Vishnu. And it is to do with absolute balance in an individual. When you're born, you have a body, could be male, could be female. And in Raj Yoga, we also include the concept of reincarnation and who reincarnates a soul. You have a number of reincarnations per time cycle. And that number of reincarnations, 50% female, 50% male. When you're looking at yourself in terms of your body, this is a program for women, then you will say, well, I'm a woman because I have a woman's body. That's what makes me a woman. But when you start thinking, well, I'm a soul who has embodied myself into a woman's body, that doesn't make me a woman. Because I, when I say I'm talking about I, the soul, who has the same number of male and female births. So that makes me androgynous because 50% of my incarnations are through the female form, 50% are through the male form. And what that means is I could be either way. In body consciousness, of course, a person is completely under the influence of their body. Although nowadays there are many who feel I've been born into the wrong kind of body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, what am I? And of course, identity is you're either a male or a female. Well, in spiritual practice, it's not so. You're a genderless, raceless, colorless being who acquires a color of the body and acquires a gender of the body for a role.
Now, Sister Denise, this sounds, highly unusual, but what does one do with this information? How do you function within the context of your own life and also in society with this new information? And I'm glad you mentioned the subject of identity because I would say I am Indian female or Brazilian female, whatever the case may be. It's part and parcel of who I am. The body, for many people, creates your sense of identity and sense of belonging. Now, you've just taken that away.
Yes.
So what are you giving the woman who's watching you in return? It has to be something more powerful.
Well, think of this also. There are a lot of people who are of mixed race. Or you get people who really are not quite comfortable in the presenting gender of body. They may be homosexual, they may be, you know, not completely heterosexual, they may be asexual, they may be bisexual. There's all kinds of varieties that you find. If you are in a recognizable race and you're heterosexual, then you're normal. Anything else, there's something wrong with you. And all of it is to do with the body. So what happens is you get a larger and larger minority of people who just do not fit in these categories and who are thereby denied a recognizable identity, which is very uncomfortable. But when we take it totally away, you say, okay, I am deeply inside, I'm a genderless, colorless being of light, a being with consciousness, who have incarnated into a body, which is like a costume to play a role. So that's a different type of identity altogether.
Sister Denise, I'd like to interrupt you there. When you're talking about androgyny, are you including in that someone's sexuality, their sexual identity? You'll find a lot of people identifying with sexuality by saying, I'm John, I'm gay, or I'm Michael, but I'm straight, and my brother's gay. So my point is that people identify with their sexuality. Now, you mentioned androgyny, you're mentioning Vishnu, the one with the four-armed image. How does sexuality fit into this picture?
Sexuality is a reproduction thing, and it has become an identity thing. What we're trying to do here is say, okay, who am I? What am I? And when you start asking yourself questions like that, you're moving more and more away from your biology to your actual self, which is not a biological thing. Your actual self is a spiritual thing.
That's a very fresh and new perspective on one's identity. The connection, Sister Denise, between the soul and the body is a very deep one. And even with that understanding that you're a spiritual being having a human experience, one is still inclined to think that this is part of who I am. Maybe not all of who I am, but a very important part of who I am.
I would even question, you're a spiritual being having a human experience. I would even question that. I would probably say, you know, I'm a human soul having an experience in the world of matter. And of course, sense perceptions are all to do with material experiences. So we're talking about a spirit which is androgynous, which is neither male nor female, but equally capable to perform in a masculine way or a feminine way. And I mean, if you look at your life, you will find yourself as a woman being told you're doing men's work. And who decided what's men's work, what's women's work? Tradition. I think the time when this became really relevant and talked about was at the end of the Second World War, when 67 million people, mostly men, had been killed in a terrible war, and most of the survivors were women, and work had to be done, which was a lot of it men's work, by women. And they began to realize it's not men's work, it's work. Something has to be done. You have to construct dwellings. You have to make transportation arrangements. You have to make roads. You have to have all of the engineering and so on and so on, as well as the more traditionally feminine functions. And a woman was perfectly able to do all of them, or most of them. And then, nowadays, you get many men who like to look after the home. Hmm. A previous society would really give him a hard time for that, you know. Segregations of role and function are beginning to break down. And so then you start to rethink your identity. And as soon as you start thinking, you know, I'm on a spiritual level, I'm an eternal being. I reincarnate multiple times. I can just as easily operate in a male form or in a female form. So the practice of balancing these things out, I think one of the interesting consequences is that the current polarization between men and women, which has created an overall adversarial role, is shifting so that men and women are much closer together, much more complementary, and much less in conflict. And I think that is one of the aims that we have in this program, that the woman of the future implies the man of the future too. The people of the future are very different from people of the past, because they're more complementary, they're closer, they understand each other on many, many different levels, and they will not engage in this artificial segregation.
Sister Denise, what is it within, especially a female psyche, that makes her believe that because I'm female, I'm weaker?
I think that that is not borne out by statistic. Women tend to live longer than men. Women tend to be better students than men. So that the superiority of the male has been created artificially by denying opportunity to women in order to prove the superiority of men in various different areas. Once you take away the artificial arrangements and go back to a level playing field, then you find that things are really very different from people's beliefs. You know, the psyche is really the soul. So you can say the soul of a woman, the heart of a woman, but then when you go deeper, you find that it's the soul of a soul and the heart of a soul. The soul is very influenced by the body. As being in a woman's body, which we both are, and we're addressing the gathering of women, which is half the world, after all, the woman's body lends itself to finer feelings, sensitivity, caring, intuitive, all of this. So when a soul lands in a woman's body, all of this is enhanced. When the same soul lands in a male body, due to the nature of the male body, you are having other attributes enhanced. You know, you'll be more competitive, you'll be more out there. There are different attributes that are influenced by the biology. But as soon as you start to move beyond the biology into the more subtle aspects of identity, there people become closer and much more complementary. And I think that that is something of an advantage.
You're referring to what you mentioned in an earlier episode of being an observer. You're referring to withdrawing from what you term sense perceptions and going within, in other words, creating some distance between your physical body and what you think you are and the real self. That is quite a remarkable journey to make, to boldly go where very few have been. So tell us how you would do that, because it's something that only spiritual pioneers do.
I think a lot of it has to do with what you feel about yourself. If somebody tells you, you can't do that because you're a woman, which has been told to me many times, I will say, what do you mean? I can perfectly well do that. It has nothing to do with whether I'm a woman or not. It has to do with capacity, and your capacity to do something or manage something is really nothing to do with your biological function, you see. Because in terms of gender, the woman, the female gender is for a specific biological function. And in women, which is not the same as in men. In women, your reproductive years are from this time to this time, and then after that and before that, not, you see. In males, it's not so clear. You know, your reproductive functions are not curtailed in the same way. And so therefore, I think the male is likely to identify with his body probably more than the female, because the female is very used to being independent of biological functions. Especially, I think, in your later years as a woman, you're much less categorized by your biology because it's no longer relevant. At some point in the series, we'll be looking at the crone. It's a very, very interesting idea, because the crone is the elder woman, the very, very old woman who is the embodiment of wisdom and who is a leader, you know, but is female. I think in traditional societies, the crone has much more of a presence than in modern societies. But it's very, very interesting to take a look at the different functions of the feminine at different times of life and in different historical periods also. Crone is also connected with magic and this type of thing. Magic not as a negative thing, but magic as, you know, you go into the very, very subtle spiritual powers, which sometimes people are very afraid of because they associate it with negativity. But it's to do with sustaining the energies of the world and keeping everything balanced and in order and so on.
Mr. Denise, I've seen this so many times that if you get an individual who identifies fully with their particular race that they're born into or identifies fully with their body and thinks that that is all that I am, there's nothing but sorrow there. Why is that? And why do people not get it? There's a false perception to think that I am my body or I am my race. There's a lot of pain and sorrow attached to that, but why do women not get the link between the two?
Well, it's socialization, it's education, it's the media, it's politics, it's so many of these things, you know. And what I have found is people who travel a great deal, people who have friends who are of different cultures, different races, many different styles of people that there are, as their horizon broadens, they start to become more like world citizens, and they start to cross beyond those artificial boundaries. So you have a much more universal perspective, and you stop seeing body color and gender and whatever. You start seeing the inner being and relating to the inner being. You start activating the eye of the mind, the eye of the intellect, which is sometimes called the third eye, and that you're not limited by only sense perception.
Yes. What is the benefit to a woman who has pulled away from looking at herself as only what she sees in the mirror in terms of her skin color and in terms of her gender? What is there to gain? How does one maintain a balance between understanding your androgyny and still respecting the fact that you're in a female body? And how do you respect your physical attributes and yet go to one's depths, as you just described?
You're not limited by it. Mm-hmm. You see, you wouldn't say, well, I can't do this because I'm a woman. You will say, yes, I'm a woman, and I can do this, 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 this. And still respecting that your form, your costume is female. You'll present yourself how you want to present yourself in that way, There's no point in trying to be a male if you're a female. That's ridiculous. Doesn't work. People tried, didn't work. But it's a question of not being limited by it. This is your carriage. This is what carries you into the drama of life and how you handle different situations and so on. When you're limited by stereotyping, which is artificial, then it's like sabotaging yourself.
In a previous episode, you mentioned that there are no female classical composers, which is bizarre because women have enough, if not more, creativity than men. Do certain characteristics come naturally to you if you're in a particular gender?
Not necessarily. And I don't think it's true to say that there are no female classical composers. There are, but they tend to get sidelined or their names deleted. On the one hand, the women have to be far, far better than men in different areas because the setup is stacked against them. So that's one aspect. Another thing that I've seen is that in extreme competitive situations like the corporate world, banking, politics, all of this, where, you know, the game is very much a masculine type of game, which is competition to the death. Women may get very close to that, and then they will see that they have the skills to do it, but they don't like to do that. As soon as it gets into this tournament, this fighting to the death, the women will say, not interested, have a good day, enjoy your battles with each other. This is not my cup of tea. I think it's a bit more like that. In this program, we're really looking at what kind of future are we wanting to set up here? So in the future, we want to have a world which is not based on either I will live or you will live. It's very much a world of we will live together in harmony. We will look after the world together in harmony. We will make a peaceful civilization which is beautiful and rich in all aspects of civilization. We are not about destroying each other or destroying our habitat. And that is really the big difference.
Okay, a very interesting subject, Sister Denise. Thank you for your very refreshingly lovely perspective. There you go, soul androgyny and soul race. Who would have thought of that? Never crossed my mind that something like that existed. But Sister Denise has taken us through a beautiful verbal journey where it's very interesting to hear that androgyny is something that is applicable to the soul, not the body. Race is also applicable to the soul, not the body. And Sister Denise has shared with us a refreshingly fresh perspective as to how to understand the depths of who we are rather than fully identifying with what we see in the mirror. A very beautiful and powerful talk, and I hope that you are able to see beyond the limitations that you have placed on yourself or that others have placed on you as a result of being born into a certain race or simply being female. I hope that this subject has empowered you today. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you, Sister Denise.
Thank you.
Take care, and we will see you soon.